Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is James Cooper. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the Assistant Director of Ministries here at Boulevard and a graduate of Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. It is my pleasure to bring you the Word this Lord's Day morning, particularly as we reflect, in some sense, on what it is we're even doing here, listening to this sermon today. As I give this sermon, the world is in the midst of uncertainty. Our communities, our schools, our own church are in the midst of uncertainty. Our families are in the midst of uncertainty. And all this is to say that all of us are very, very busy. Not the kind of busy that we usually think of with lots of work and activities and vacations and stuff for kids and meeting with friends, though I'm sure many of us still have plenty of that, although probably not, given how many of us are experiencing shutdowns. What I'm speaking of, though, is a different kind of busyness that arises instead from the constant burden of decisions that each of us must make as we are flooded with a constant barrage of new situations and new information about those situations constantly arising. Some of us are scared, some of us are upset, some of us are annoyed, but I suspect that none of us have been idle in the past week or so. Reading, thinking, praying, planning, deciding, and acting, all to keep ourselves, our communities, our families, our neighbors safe and secure. Much of life is this way, and has been, even before the events of the past few months, even before new words entered our vocabulary like coronavirus. It's been like this for a while. The work of our hands, for the sake of our God and our neighbors, and all very good. But God also calls us to rest. The Sabbath command is about much more than organizing ancient Israel's calendar. And as we examine the fourth commandment today, I would like us to be thinking about those areas of life that cause us the most anxiety, that cause us the most busyness, that take the most of our time and our energy. And I want us to consider what it might mean for us to rest from and in the midst of those things. I hope to help us do that today, but before I do, would you please pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we are in the midst of uncertain times. Many of us don't know exactly what to do or even who to trust as we follow the news that's presented to us constantly. As we talk with friends, as we talk with family members who also don't know what to do, and as we look at those who depend on us. I pray, Lord, that today you would help us to rest, that we would honor you as we honor the rest that you hold before us, that you would give us peace today and in the coming week and weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen. The fourth commandment, like the other Ten Commandments, was given to God's people after their exodus from Egypt, and it was to be a remembrance of their deliverance from Pharaoh, a perpetual sign of God's mercy in rescuing them from slavery and setting them apart in a land of their own to be His people. That reasoning isn't exactly given here, but it is stated in the repetition of the commandment in Deuteronomy 5. Here in Exodus 20, God gives slightly different reasons, and I will come to that in a moment, but the way that the Sabbath functioned was that it was one day in seven, set apart for the worship of God and the ceasing from labor. But it was also part of an entire system of feasts and festivals. And this is often mentioned together with the Sabbath in the Old Testament. And what these festivals and feasts, along with the Sabbath, had the effect of doing is they reminded the people of God of God's work in redeeming them. And also much more. The entire Old Covenant calendar, from the weekly Sabbath to the year of Jubilee every 50 years, the way in which time itself was structured, all of this revolved around God. And I want us to pause and to think for a moment about what that communicated to the people who lived by that calendar. Every seventh day, every new moon, every seventh month, every seventh year, every 50th year, the Lord commands something. And you don't get to decide what to do on those days. Those days belong to God. And it wasn't as though the period in between any of these things was long enough to ever leave the impression that the other days somehow didn't belong to God. Their impact was significant enough that after living under this system long enough, you would have gotten the feeling that, in fact, all things belong to God. Your time belongs to God, because you belong to God. The things that rule our calendars tend to make us feel that way. And this was particularly true of the weekly Sabbath, which is emphasized more than any other holy day in the Old Testament. And it's true of us when we take a day out of our weeks to gather together to worship our God and receive His gifts in word and sacrament. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, have you thought about how unusual that is? Maybe some of you have. It is something we do that nobody else does. It's a distinctive marker of Christ's church that on every Sunday, the first day of the week, and the day on which He was raised from the dead, we gather together to worship Him. In a pluralistic, hyper-connected world that always expects us to be doing something, something else, that can be hard to do. And of course, that's exactly the point. Your time belongs to Christ because you belong to Christ. You don't belong to your work. You don't belong to your email. You don't belong to your newsfeed or whatever else is constantly demanding your attention the rest of your week. You belong to Christ, and His yoke is easy, and His burden light. Which brings me to my next point about rest. If the first reason God gave the Sabbath command was to set His people apart as His, the second, and really the first in terms of priority, is that the Sabbath was given that we might seek our rest in Him. That's the reason given here in Exodus 20. God rested from His labor and work on the seventh day, so His people ought to rest from theirs. This raises a few questions immediately, one of which is, what does it mean for God to rest? God doesn't get tired or fatigued or need a brain break. So what is it that God means by resting? To answer that, we should go back to the beginning. The command itself begins with the word remember, suggesting that the idea of Sabbath was not entirely new, but was in fact a principle that already existed. And the reason God gives for the command is rooted in creation itself. When God created the world, He did so in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. This simply means that He ceased from His creative activity of the previous 6 days. But it does not suggest that He did nothing or is doing nothing. The Psalms suggest that God resting or sitting ought most naturally be connected with the idea of His sitting on a throne. That is, His rule, His power, His dominion over what He has made. And in His throne room, His people worship at His footstool. This is Psalm 99, verse 5. This connection between God's rest on the seventh day, God's rule, and the worship of God is how the Sabbath command is developed here in Exodus and throughout the Old Testament. But what does that say more specifically about how we are to rest? Firstly, the fact that the Sabbath was present in creation and that the later command was rooted in creation suggests that there is a principle at work that applies to us as creatures and specifically as those created in God's image. Adam and Eve, as they worked and labored in the garden, were given a sign of God's rest and dominion, which they too were to participate in as his image. God sits enthroned in heaven, governing all the works of his hands. They too, as God's image, were to enjoy an enthronement over creation, a kind of worshipful, glorious fellowship with God and creation that cannot even be fully described because it was never fully experienced. For as we know, Adam and Eve sinned and lost for us that rest we were created for. Secondly, after the fall, the rest of the seventh day came to signify something slightly different. It came to signify the rest given by God in redemption. And that's what it signifies here in Exodus. The rest which God was giving his people in the land, free from the oppression of Egypt, free to worship the true God undisturbed, and free to pursue the holy and righteous lives they were created for. It was a picture of God's physical redemption of his people from slavery. But it was also a picture of God's ultimate redemption of his people from the slavery of sin. This is how Jesus and the New Testament authors interpret the significance of the Sabbath. Jesus refers to himself as Lord of the Sabbath in all three synoptic Gospels. And the Apostle Paul in the letters to the Galatians and the Colossians teaches that the Old Testament calendar, including, it appears, the Sabbath, pointed forward, ultimately, to the redemption of the world in Jesus. The author to the Hebrews also makes this connection in chapters 3 and 4, where he warns his readers not to fall away from the rest promised to them in Jesus. To rest, then, is not merely to cease from working. It is, in fact, to live by faith. It is to remember that this world is not all there is. It is to remember that God is enthroned and that he is working even now in the midst of our busyness, uncertainty, and best efforts to secure for ourselves what only God can give. It is to remember that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of sin and that you are no longer a slave to it. It is to live as one who has been called out of darkness into God's glorious light. It is to live as one who has hope, as one who will one day reign with Christ, who even now sits on his glorious throne. There are so many ways the world, the flesh, and the devil would seek to distract you and to rob you of that rest. And it can come in many forms. It might be a period of disobedience. It might be a period of distraction or overwhelming anxiety or sickness. It might simply be indifference or the feeling that God's help is not necessary in this life. All of these things tempt us to rest our hearts in other things, which is really to remain restless, as St. Augustine wrote. The Sabbath rebukes such foolishness, and invites us to seek rest in very practical ways. The first practical way you can seek the rest that only God can give is to go to church on Sunday. It was on Sunday that the early church met to hear the word, to take the offering, to break bread together, to encourage one another in the faith. And it is on Sunday that you will gather together with your brothers and sisters, regardless of what happened this week, regardless of how you feel, and you will worship God. You will hear the word he has given you. You will confess with your lips and with your actions that he is God and you are not. There will, of course, be times when that is impossible, or extraordinary circumstances call for unusual accommodations. but we need a literal, embodied day of worship and rest. God knows that, and set it as a pattern for us, even at creation. You need that kind of disruption in your life. You probably need it even more. I certainly do. The second practical way you can seek God's rest is to limit activities on Sunday that hinder worship, and to engage in activities that reflect the redemption and rest we have in Christ. These do include things like prayer and reflection, but also things like acts of mercy. And much of what we might and might not do is inherently subjective, and I mean it to be. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 warns us not to be overly prescriptive or judgmental in how we approach any day, even a day set apart by the church for worship. The third practical way you can seek God's rest is to remember that the day of rest exists not only for itself, but is a sign of the rest and the hope we experience in all of life. To rest in God does not begin and end on Sunday, but goes from Sunday to Sunday. Sunday worship is an obviously good practice and a fitting beginning to our week walking with Christ. But I would encourage us all to also find other habits and patterns of life, either individually or corporately, that snap us out of our self-sufficiency and remind us that God is in control, that we are His people, that our hope is not in the works of our own hands, but in the God who delivered us. And despite whatever chaos you are experiencing now, despite whatever hardships the church is in and will certainly experience in this time before Christ returns, that God will certainly deliver us on the last day into a final and glorious rest with all the saints past, present, and future. That's what the Sabbath holds out to us. Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for this day of rest and worship that you have given to us. I pray that even though many of us are apart from one another, that we would join our voices and our hearts to you this day in praise, in love, in worship, that you would bless our efforts to seek you, to find rest in you. And I pray, Lord, that whatever happens in the next few weeks, that we would remain sure that you are bringing us to an eternal rest in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.